Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We are back, just like that. I think this might be the first show of the new year when this drops.
I think so.
Right? Welcome to 2025. UFOs are real, aliens live under the ocean, and we're here to bring you all that goodness. So, let's kickstart the year off, right?
That was like some German stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I bet the email rubbed off on you.
I've been practicing.
Email rubbed off on you.
Yeah. Wow. Got some wild ones out there. Anyway, welcome to 2025. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for choosing us to start your work week and your, I don't want to say work year, because that's depressing.
That
and
is
your
depressing.
Year as a whole. Thanks for being part of the cult. I got a weird one coming in today about a disappearance, reappearance, appearance, mermaid, ocean queens, all kinds of cool stuff.
Nice, nice.
So you're going to want to hang out for that. Hang out for it. Stick around for it. First, we got to get through the business. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come and be part of the community. Join the cult. You know the drill if you're here regularly. If you're new here, you're going to want to fast forward about 5 minutes because me and Kyle like to talk a lot. And that's just what we do. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on our Thursday shows, Kyle's got some info for you.
I do. It's easy peasy. You just open your little phone there. You go to show info. Look around in there and you're going to see an email. That email is hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Send everything there. And I mean everything. You got your story you can send to us, questions, concerns, info on slaps, all that good stuff. You're going to send it right there to that email. And then we're going to take that, put it into our filing system, which is professional and patented, so don't steal it. It makes those noises. You get it. We turn it to a show. We get your information, whatever we need. And we go forward.
It's easy.
It's easy.
There's the whole thing. We're doing our best.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of other people's worst. But
it's true.
Nothing we can do about that.
That's right.
If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. Patreon, a mere $7 a month. You can get extra shows, like 50 of them now. You can get early access to these very shows here. You can get them without ads, which is wonderful. No offense to our sponsors, because we love you too.
True story.
You can also get Casket Breath jams. You can get coupons to the merch store and kind of preemptive drops to merch dropping.
Wink, wink. Wink.
That being said, we're the merch store, hollowskypodcast.com. You can go over there, check out a bunch of cool swag and rep the Hollow Cult. We got t-shirts over there, which we're going to be doing a flash sale on to get rid of all the old back stock before we put some new in. There are stocking caps over there, a couple here and there left, stickers. We also got the new hats in. They are sick and fly. Kyle's wearing one version right now.
Right now.
There are, what, four?
Something like that.
Yeah, there's four, I think. There's this camo, black on camo. We got gold on dark camo, white on black, and black on gray. They're all pretty heaters.
They are. They're good.
I enjoy them a lot. So you're going to want to watch for them to drop soon. Soon.
Yeah.
And you can also share the show word of mouth. Best thing you can do. Just keep Hollow Sky in everybody's faces as much as you can. Also, go to, if there's any other paranormal weirdos that you listen to, that you'd like to see us collab with, throw us out there. Throw us to them. Say, hey, get a hold of these two losers. They'll come on your show and talk. You can come on their show and talk. It can be a whole thing. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. If I find them, I'll gladly shout you out. Today's, this week's, the first 5-star rating and review of 2025 comes to us from our friend, Elena Sivit. I hope I said that right.
You did.
Elena says, hardest working podcast, 5 stars. Well, that's correct.
That can be appreciated in a lot of ways.
That is correct. It says, down to earth hosts, regular episodes, excellent content, great banner. This is my favorite bedtime story. Hope these guys get millions of subscribers. They deserve it. Well, thank you for leaving us all the kindness, because we like to hear it. It helped boost the morale around the Hollow Camp. We appreciate you.
We do. And it is always appreciated for the kind words.
Yeah. We're the hardest working podcast because we have the best listeners.
This is true.
So, there.
Without you, we wouldn't be here.
True. Now we're still talking past 5 minutes. So,
got to do better.
We're going to jump into it. Jumping into it, we got a disappearance here, right? A weird one. So that's kind of up our alley. I titled it. It's got a cool title. I'll give you that much. Patient X12 and a strange disappearance in Indonesia.
I'm in. It reminds me of Wolverine.
That's what I thought too. So some of the sources I use primarily is the YouTube channel Missing Void. They do great work over there, do constant stuff with missing people, missing 411. Definitely go check it out. Scallywagonvagabond.com, Reddit, Wikipedia, InsideStoryNews.com, Compass.id, and Oddity Central are a bunch of different sources I use to put this together. So this story is a rather recent one, with the initial incident happening in 2017. So it's not even 10 years old yet. That in itself is pretty interesting. The details behind it are kind of sketch because you're relying on a lot of translations since it happened in Indonesia. But it's one of the strangest disappearances that I have found in quite some time. The story starts on one of the beautiful beaches in West Java, Indonesia. It was January 8th, 2017, and a 52-year-old woman by the name of Nining Sunarsi, nailed it, was vacationing in the city of Sukabumi. A particular day, her and her family decided to go down to a nearby beach, kind of swath called Sitipus, to enjoy the wonderful weather. The family made it down to the beach and had picked out a spot that wasn't really crowded, and it seemed like just the right place for them to just chill out for the afternoon and relax and hang out with their younger members of their family and kind of, you know, just do beach stuff, grill and throw a frisbee around, all that good stuff.
It was a nice place to hang out once in a while.
Yeah. And for the first few hours, that's exactly how the day unfolded. Everything was going cool. Everybody's having a good time. But in the afternoon, it started to get pretty warm. So they decided to take a break from all the tropical heat and cool off by taking a swim in the sea. By all accounts, the sea was pretty calm that day when they entered the water. But not long after, these small waves turned into rough and choppy waters. As the family rushed to get the children out of the water, they suddenly began hearing Nining cry for help. She found herself being swept out to sea, away from the shore by large waves and strong currents. Her family did what they could to save her, but unfortunately could not get to her safely. They watched helplessly as she kept being pulled beneath the waves as she yelled and pleaded for help. The commotion caught the attention of nearby beachgoers, who also rushed to help. But by this time, the sea had turned so rough that nobody could try to swim out to get her, without risk of being pulled under and drowned themselves. They said the final time that they saw her, she was waving for help as she was being pulled out of sight. The family immediately notified authorities, who essentially transformed the beach into like a huge search and rescue hub almost immediately to try to find her. They brought in boats, rafts, divers. They even had a helicopter in the air for support, just trying to find where she was.
They went all out on that one.
Yeah. And it was pretty immediate from what I could tell in the articles that I was finding. So the fact that they couldn't find her is, I mean, pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's also the ocean.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, looking from the outside in, the only thing that would make sense to me is that, like, right off the bat, that maybe there was a really strong undercurrent that she got caught in and sucked out, and, you know, just one of those things that unfortunately happen from time to time.
Yeah.
And the ocean's pretty big, so
and kind sus.
Of easy. Yeah, definitely 100% sus. But it's easy to get kind of lost out there.
And there's aliens there.
Also true. That's why I don't venture into the water. It's just not smart. So take that as your Hollow Sky PSA for the week. Don't go into the water.
Ever.
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 So not only did they have this huge search and rescue, like authority-wise going on, locals and the Sunursi family were also out consistently searching, scouring the beach, trying to locate any sign of her. Hours turned into days, and they found nothing. Until January 14th, 7 days later. After Nining went into the water, Indonesian press outlets began to report of a body being recovered, washed up on the shore not far from where the family spent their day on the beach. It was reported that the body was not intact and that there were advanced states of decomposition. From what I could tell from reports and articles that I found, the authorities were almost certain that this was Nining. And with good reason. You know, you had a person swept out to sea, a body washes back up.
I mean, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, real quick before you get too far ahead, let's give a round of applause for everybody involved on the beach that day. That must be cool to live in a community where people actually give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we do kind of live in a world now where it's more about just taking your camera out and recording and then getting a hit.
Yeah, mind your business, you know.
It's like, cool to hear places that still care and kind of go above and beyond to try to help somebody out.
Yeah. So you have a body wash up where a body washed out. Immediately think it's the same one. Can't really snuff the authorities for thinking that. However, Nining's family were not having any part of it. They're like, there's no way. There's no way that they just didn't want to accept the fact that she could have perished in the water, right?
All right. I didn't know if it was from that or if it was from they identified the body and they're like, this is not her.
It's coming.
Okay.
So, family was having no part of it, especially after being called in to identify the remains. They stated that the fingernails on the body were drastically different from Nining's. which that in itself, I was like, well, that's kind of weird. But then I got to thinking, I'm like,
an interesting note to, like, it's an interesting like key point to be like, this is not my daughter because the fingernails are fucked up.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it also attests to how you know the individuals in your life. You can pick out little details like that.
And from some of the, like, the details I'm getting, that it doesn't sound like there was a lot of this body left.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
How long was it in the water for, you said? Like 14 days?
7 days.
7 days?
Which, that in itself...
Isn't that a little weird?
A little weird. They said they kind of counted off the identity from the fingernails, and that Nanning had a very distinct birthmark on her abdomen, and this body did not. So they were like...
That's fair.
Yeah. Hey... There's a lot of things that aren't right here.
Yeah.
Where the authority is like, hey, we got a body out. We got a body in. Yeah. We can wrap it up. We ain't got to worry about it.
That is one thing to note when it comes to that. Like, some law enforcement areas, they do just want to be done with the things that plague them. In some cases, rightfully so. But in most cases, stop being lazy and do better.
If you can get it wrapped up into a nice little box, you ain't got to worry about it. As Kyle mentioned, 7 days does not seem that long to be in the water for that much of an advanced decomposition. It is noted that the warm water and marine scavenging could essentially account for how bad the shape the body was in.
I can kind of believe that, because right out of the gate, I was thinking, okay, well, maybe the marine life got a hold of it, did their dirty work. Never did think about the water being warm, because we all know that the warmer temperatures definitely speed up things like that.
Yep. But the family, kudos to them, stayed 10 toes down. And they're like, hey, this is not Nanning. This is not our person. The authorities eventually were like, okay, just, you can almost like feel them being like, just to shut them up, we'll do a DNA test. So they compared the DNA from the body to Nanning's son. Not a match. The results also came back as male.
So, yeah. No. Not a whole lot of confusion left in that debate there.
No.
It's pretty cut and dry at that point.
Yeah. As far as I could tell, this body was never identified. Which also is strange.
Unfortunate.
Especially when we get to the strangeness of the... Well, there's a lot of strangeness, but... To the weirdness that's going to go on later.
And where did this take place, you said?
In Indonesia.
Indonesia, okay.
Yeah. Search efforts after that they failed to find any signs of Nanning whatsoever. Just completely gone. I do find it strange that an unrelated, unidentified body would turn up on a beach where a woman went missing.
You know, now that you say that, that is a little fucking strange.
Yeah.
Because it almost makes you feel like it was intentional.
Yes.
Not saying that it was, but you have to take in consideration how large this planet is, how many beachfronts there are, and to have a random body wash up in the exact same place 7 days later that one went missing is strange. Not saying that it's out of the realm of possibility, however, extremely strange.
You're going to love it when we get to the part to where this specific... Wow.
That's good.
Specific.
You sound like that rapper.
Yeah, I feel like a rapper. Area of beach just happens to have a bunch of lore about it being a gateway to underwater.
All right, so the timing of the timing and circumstances are going to be even more strange.
It's definitely weirder.
I like it.
Speaking of weirder, it gets weirder.
Weirderist.
10 months after Nanning went missing, in November of 2017, a woman was arrested on Sitipas Beach. Well, I couldn't find out exactly the reason why she's arrested. The common kind of census here is that it was for her own good. She was just kind of found out wandering around and didn't know where she was and all sorts of stuff. It is estimated that this woman was around Nanning's age. When she was questioned, she stated that she was confused and not of the right mind. She couldn't tell authorities who she was or how she got on the beach or who her family was. Her mental health was in such a state that she was placed by authorities into a care home. while they attempted to figure out who she was. The care home manager was adamant that this was Nanning, so much so that he went on record stating that this woman was her. Again, I cite that the YouTube channel Missing Void found an article from an Indonesian news site called Compass ID. They translated it as best they could. Quote, care home manager Denny Selang indicated to reporters that the care home had taken in Nanning. Denny confirmed this at a meeting that the police had arranged with him at the home, which cared for people with mental disorders. Denny said that Nanning was arrested by the Satpol PP, public order officers, at Sitipas Beach in November of 2017. She had no ID card and was difficult to talk to. We ended up designating her as patient X-12. I am sure that patient X-12 is Nanning. We took care of her, but she ran away in January of 2018. It is possible that she lived on the streets afterwards. He proceeded to show a file photograph of X-12, but unfortunately, Missing Void or I couldn't find the photograph from the case file, which very well could have fallen under patient confidentiality, right?
Right. Okay, but hold on. Hold the front door here.
Hold on, Denny.
Hold on, bruh. So, if I'm hearing this correctly and processing correctly, which is not always the case, Nanning was in a care facility.
We can't prove that. Denny thinks. Okay.
Because I'm really confused on a couple different aspects right now.
The woman they found.
Did the family say anything about her being in a care unit?
No.
Okay.
So
that's why I'm so confused, because this is that should have been brought up.
Yeah, this is where it gets to that point. So 10 months after she went missing, this woman's found wandering around on a beach. Same age. Mm-hmm. So they take her to the police, take her in, fear for her mental health, put her in a care home. The manager of this care home's like, "Oh, hey, this is definitely this gal. 100%. 100%." But they have no proof that it's her.
Okay. So there's strike one on the oddity list.
Yeah.
Two, is it me, or does it feel like the title they gave this woman a fucking government conspiracy experiment?
It does.
I mean, how do you have a patient? You're just like, we're gonna, this is patient X-12. And like that. That's not a patient name, sir. That is an experiment title, is what that is.
It goes kind of hard.
It does. I'm not going to argue. It makes her sound cool. But on top of all that, where was I going with it? I lost it. Oh, it's also weird that everyone in the community of authority is trying to end this case.
Yeah, that is weird,
because the police started it. We can kind of understand that, but now outside sources are coming in going, nope, this is definitely her. Case closed. We're done with this. We need to move on. We need to move forward. If I'm the family, I'm starting to get extremely perturbed at this moment.
Pissed.
I'm pissed because everybody and their mom is trying to end this investigation for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I fully understand that being in the family's shoes, you are going to, at this point, you're going to assume the worst.
Yeah.
Cause the ocean doesn't really take prisoners.
Yeah. Well, right? unless they do.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. But in relatively speaking, it doesn't take prisoners.
No, you have usually to assume the worst.
Yeah. You have to, you absolutely have to. And everybody's bringing this false sense of hope / almost like they're just being ultra like dismissive and shady about it. The fact that they just want to keep closing it. Everybody that they find, they're like, yep, this is her. This is her. We can't prove it. And we're going to give her some weird governmental experimental name. But hey, this is definitely her. That doesn't make sense to me.
No,
it doesn't make sense. And it just seems completely irresponsible.
And it's like, especially from this guy, because it gets more, not necessarily sus, but just like irresponsible is the best word you could have used. And
I mean, I don't understand how as the family, you don't start getting mad and just going, why the fuck are you trying to cover this up? Yeah. Well, like, by all accounts, to everyone involved, it looked like somebody just got sucked out into the ocean. Why are we taking all these extra steps?
Yep. So it's never actually stated as to why Denny believed this was Nanning, outside of the fact that she was about the same age as the woman that got sucked out into the ocean. It's not, I guess, like, I just kind of assume it's a thing where you have a missing woman and then an unidentified woman that is kind of similar shows up. So it's like circumstantial shit.
Hey, I can 100% understand the idea of getting excited. Like, if you're this dude and you're like, oh my God,
we found this mystery.
Yeah, we found her. She's great. She's good. We got it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, being proven wrong later on. But to like double and triple down on this is her, despite what anyone else wants to say. Also, I can't prove it, but this is her.
Yeah. He also didn't come out with this theory until she had already disappeared again in 2018.
Oh, okay.
So he had her for months, at least 2 months, close to 3 months in his care. And he didn't say anything about it to where anybody can actually investigate it. After she disappears and he's like, hey, we had her and I let her go. Sorry.
I'm responsible.
So it eliminates any chance of substantiating any of his claims. While it's possible that maybe she like sustained some sort of head injury by being washed out to sea and then was washed back into shore, it's almost like it feels like a far stretch that she just wandered around on this beach where everybody was looking for her for 10 months and nobody noticed her.
Yeah.
That to me just doesn't sound right.
No. And furthermore, when it comes to being admitted somewhere, you would think that, I know that they say like the photo got lost or whatever, but every patient care facility is most likely going to have photographs of said patient.
Yeah. And they did. They kept it actually. And I'll get to it in just a second.
Okay.
So, I stated that it's weird that like everybody just kind of forgot that Nanning went missing after that first body was found. You know, if she was wandering around on the beach and like homeless camps and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You would think people would still be like on edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking for her and shit. It is noted that Denny said that there was 122 people at his care facility and 97 of them were unidentified. So it's not something that's out of the ordinary that people come in that don't have any identification and trying to link it up could kind of lead that direction.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense if say you had like a slight homeless problem in the area.
Yeah.
Where some of these homeless people had dementia or other illnesses like that. Okay, sure. I can wrap my brain around that possibility.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue that. That does make sense.
Like it, and just the same as it is here, you know, like it's easy for people to get lost in the system, yeah. But it does feel like a stretch that after he let her go, he's like, oh, this was definitely her.
Yeah. And then on top of all that, like I said, when it came time to the parent statements or the relatives or whomever, you would think that would be one of the key points that you would want to reiterate to law enforcement or whomever, like, hey, she was in a mental care facility, so she might be a little bit woo-woo.
Yeah. It got to the point so much that Nanning's daughter came to speak with Denny after he came out with these claims. She looked at the actual file photo and was like, that's not my mom. So
weird to me.
That in itself almost excludes whoever.
Yeah.
So now you have this area of beach that disappeared a person, regurgitated a different person, mm-hmm. and now regurgitated another person that doesn't remember where they were.
Yeah, I'm going to start becoming extremely sussy about this beach location.
It's weird. Nanning's employer was also questioned around this time, where he stated that she was a prominent member of her community and a preschool teacher and very personable. He did state that toward the time she disappeared, she became sort of withdrawn and distant toward her coworkers and her family, which leads a little bit of credence toward the patient X12 possibly being her because of the way that this woman was acting too, being withdrawn, not really speaking. But that's kind of the only thing that they really have to go on outside of, you know, Denny being like, hey, this was her. It's just like, I wrote down that it's a shame that he waited until after she disappeared again to even push this narrative that it was Nanning because her family couldn't even go there and meet her and talk to this person specifically to exclude that this may be her. So it's kind of a convoluted case, right?
Yeah, there's definitely, no matter what, there's definitely some strange oddities buried within it. There are things that aren't adding up.
Yeah. So you think it's weird now. It's about to get a lot weirder.
Let's get it. I like weird.
About to get a whole lot stranger. 18 months after Nanning disappeared into the water, on July 1st, 2018, Nanning was found on the exact same stretch of beach where she had been swept out to sea.
Oh, cool.
18 months later.
So is this actually Nanning or is this Nanning point three?
This is actually Nanning.
Okay.
So Nanning's, this gets convoluted in the translations. I read that it was her brother, and I also read that it was her father. Some male
relative
of hers began having strange dreams. They started seeing her lying unconscious on the beach, wearing the same clothes she was wearing the day she went missing. At first, they just ignored these dreams. Like, you know, it's probably just the trauma of watching my sister or my daughter being swept out to sea. After the dream occurred for three consecutive nights, they talked their family into going back to the beach and searching again where she was washed out to sea. The family arrived in the early evening and nothing was found for the first few hours of searching. Then around midnight, a sister who was present at the time that Nanning went missing found her face down in the sand, wearing the exact same clothes she was wearing when she went missing. According to reports, Nanning was unconscious, fully clothed, and around 500 meters from where she first went into the water. So she's alive and found.
That doesn't make any sense.
At
18
all.
Months later. Because the only way that makes sense is the idea that she was kidnapped.
Which is a theory. It's crazy.
Which is not impossible. I say that it should be, I think that it should be hard on a beach full of people, but people are also extremely irresponsible and don't give a shit. So there's that.
And to have so many people just watch her get pulled out into the water, not only her family,
but also
like people who have no affiliation also watched her get sucked out into the ocean.
That's the other thing too, that I kind of glazed over and forgot.
Hey, Holocult, we are back and we're excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. Have you ever been to a dentist who just wants to chat to you while he's got his hand stuck in your mouth? Or a dermatologist who brings up your cosmetic issues before you do? Oof. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to settle anymore when it comes to finding the right doctor. With ZocDoc, you've got options. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings and choose a time slot that works for you and your family, and then click to instantly book that visit. I haven't needed to actually book a doctor's appointment, thankfully, but I have gotten on the app and booked some mock appointments, and it is so easy. Believe me when I say it's a one-stop shop. You can get in there and search up your insurance to see who's got you covered. You can search up your ailments for specialists, from cosmetic issues, dermatology issues, all across the board. And you can even book appointments that's within the next 24 to 48 hours. It is really, really nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. Hey, Holocult. Do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code H-O-L-O. I'm talking high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
She went into the ocean. Yeah. It's not like somebody pulled her off the beach. Yeah. So unless there's a dedicated group of individuals that are like scuba diving.
Kidnap diving.
Yes.
Scuba napping.
Yes. So unless that's happening, which is an extremely dedicated bunch, if that's taking place.
Yeah. It's fucking weird.
That's weird, dude.
Her family immediately took her home and called medics, who came and checked her out, confirming that she had no major injuries. After regaining consciousness, she was able to eat and drink, but was not able to talk, therefore not allowing anyone to reliably question her as to what happened or where she had been the last 18 months. This prompted a police investigation into the case, where they were very adamant to urge the public to, quote, think logically and not jump to any conclusions involving the case.
Once again, that brings me back to this weird circumstance of why the local authority is getting so involved in having a conclusion for this case.
We're about to get into it.
Unless what you're about to say is a lore that is so thick in the air, like, at that point, it can't just be lore. It has to be a driving factor in the community that will almost undoubtedly bring a type of like chaos and pandemonium. You know what I mean? Like but you also have to like actually really sit and consider how ingrained in the community that would have to be.
It is pretty wild. So they keep trying to reaffirm this because multiple media outlets began to refer to instances that, like, I feel like we here in the U.S. and maybe not so much in England, but kind of more so here in the U.S. we don't take legend and folklore
as serious
to the certain seriousness that other cultures do, right?
That's fair.
And this is definitely the case. Because people started finding Nining's return to the beach obviously is strange and something that had no worldly explanation. This further is exacerbated by the lore surrounding the very beach where Nining went missing. So Sitipas Beach is kind of broken into different areas, and one of them is called I'm going to butcher this, and I'm sorry to the mermaid goddess that's going to probably fight me. Palakabratu Beach is the name of the beach in Sitipas where Nining went missing. Local lore and legend states that this very beach is a magical door to the kingdom of the Queen of the South Coast. It's said that the door is in the middle of the sea at this very beach, and that the door connects the human world to other dimensions in the world of this queen named Nairoro Kadul. So, if you want to know who Nairoro Kadul is, she is an Indonesian mermaid goddess of the Southern Sea, of course, and is a well-known figure in Javanese mythology, who is still accepted by the Javanese today as the spirit queen of the Indian Ocean. Living in her palace on the bottom of the ocean, off the south coast of central Java, she rules the ocean, her spirits, nymphs, and other beings of the underworld. Her rare excursions ashore are believed to be accompanied by the occurrences of unusual natural phenomena, such as tsunamis and spring tides. As the queen of the Southern Ocean, she is held responsible for disappearances and deaths near the ocean. Therefore, like a burial ground, the ocean is regarded as a dwelling space for the spirits of the dead, especially of people who die a natural death by drowning. She is said to control the ocean's currents, rogue waves, and tsunamis, and is stated if you wear green near the shore, she will kill you. There's a local belief that wearing a green garment will bring the wearer bad luck, as green is her favorite color.
That seems a little spiteful.
Yeah.
Hey, you got my favorite color on.
Dink.
It's so much so that warnings are given to people visiting the southern coast not to wear green swim garments onto the beach.
Okay, so it is that ingrained in the community then.
Yeah.
All right. Because once again, I think you hit it on the head is that like I see disbelief in that because we come from a culture that doesn't hold as much regard to lore like that.
Yeah. It almost makes me feel like the English and the Fey lore, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like they put 100%. A whole lot more credence into it than we do here in the U.S. Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
And it's definitely just a culture thing.
It absolutely. I think you hit it on the head with that. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's interesting that, and so it does kind of make sense as to why they would give that warning. And I guess you could feed off of. That's why they wanted to hurry up and shut the case down because they didn't want people to start freaking out that the Mermaid Queen was yanking people off the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
Because that is definitely enough to create pandemonium in the area.
I mean, especially like if you take all the accounts together as one where she disappeared and then another body was washed up, almost like it was released from wherever this Kadul's area is. Then you have a third woman who shows up on the same beach who can't remember where she's been. Now you have Nining showing back up a year and a half later. Like, that's a lot of weird stuff going on in a short period of time.
Yeah, yeah. And it does sound like that was the first thing I thought of. And then you said it's very reminiscent of the Fae for me, anyways. Yeah.
The myth is that the green could cause people to be targeted by Kadul and her soldiers.
Tell me she was wearing green.
I don't know. I couldn't find it.
I was hoping that would come to a head.
The myth is that they could be targeted by Kadul to become her soldiers or servants. Logically, though, there is a reason to not wear green into the water on the southern coast because the water is greenish and it's harder to locate victims. So they kind of played into that a little bit.
That makes sense.
Kadul is sometimes depicted in the form of a mermaid, with her lower body being in the form of a fish or a snake. Sometimes she's also depicted as a very beautiful woman. She's believed to take the souls of anyone that she wants. Sometimes she's said to take the entire form of a snake. She's believed to be the lord of Kanjeng Ratu Kadul, who leads armies of phantoms in the Southern Sea. The armies are said to spread the plague among humans who behave badly. I put this here, and you guys can quote me. She's kind of a bad bitch.
It's also kind of strange. And you won't know it yet. Listeners won't know it yet. But there's a segment in my upcoming episode that, oddly enough, has a ring of what you just said.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird, because there's a part coming up where these guys have this encounter deep underground, so on and so forth. There's this weird happenings going on in this room, but there's a statue of note, and the statue is a gold statue in like insane amount of detail carved into it. And it's of a woman. And the guy describes it as a beautiful woman, a beautiful naked woman, the upper torso. The lower torso is tons of tentacles.
Creepy.
Right.
Creepy.
But it's just kind of weird. Do you go on and kind of read that description?
Why is anytime kind of like,
that's weird.
Anytime we start messing with gods, they always just kind of show up.
It is weird because it like, and that's also why in the beginning, why I asked you the area of which you wrote about, because mine's from Vietnam. Yours is from Indonesia. And it's also ironic that we both have picked stories and situations outside of the United States this week, which we almost never do.
It's weird.
It's kind of strange.
It is weird.
Throwing out some oddities.
Synchronicities.
Synchronicity.
It also should be noted that Nining's family said that when she was found, she was absolutely drenched as if she just came out of the water. There was also sand strewn about her clothing. She was in a state of disorientation and was found in the exact same clothes that she went into the water as wearing, which is crazy enough.
Yeah.
As is.
Yeah, because after 18 months, you're a no-go.
Yeah.
You would also think that there would be mass deterioration on the clothes.
That's what I just
said. At that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My next line is they showed no sign of degradation from the sea, especially for 18 months. Sort of inferring that maybe she was taken to some weird alternate dimension ocean kingdom of a sea goddess.
And even with everything that we dive into, that is still so fucking weird to say.
Yeah.
And to like mentally attempt to wrap your brain around.
Yeah. This is another reason why you don't go into the ocean, because you could become a prisoner of a snake lady.
Also agree. Wholeheartedly agree.
And to further kind of break down her not being patient X-12, you would also think that if Nining was X-12, who had somehow got sucked out into the ocean, brought back onto the beach by the current, suffered a brain injury, wandered around for 10 months, got arrested, brought to a care home facility, that they would have given her some fresh clothing before she disappeared 3 months later.
Also true, yeah.
So it almost completely eliminates her, that being her, under some odd, weird, like if she gets sucked out of the ocean, land back on the beach, forget who she was, bury her, put her clothes in a locker somewhere, wait a year and a half, take them back, get sucked back out into the beach. Like, it's just weird. Nining was taken to a local hospital where it was almost as if she remained in a fugue state. She was unaware of anyone around her. Doctors stated that she was completely healthy, though. No signs of dehydration or malnourishment, especially that of someone that was supposed to be lost out at sea for 18 months. The on-site psychiatrist stated that Nining was completely withdrawn and refused to react to any questions, especially those regarding her disappearance. It could be stated that, I mean, she possibly did wash up on a different area of the beach, which would have to be almost immediately, because you can only tread water in the ocean for so long before you're going to get tired and you're going to drown.
Yeah, it's going to take me like 30 seconds.
Yeah. And then the head injury she suffered, she couldn't remember anything, and then was homeless for 18 months. But it doesn't eliminate all those weird little factors, like with her wearing the same clothing and the weird dreams and like all that stuff.
Yeah, the dreams are weird. That's definitely extremely, extremely odd timing.
And it also leads to the point you've been trying to make the whole time, was like, it feels like they're trying to keep this under wraps.
Dude, that's where I'm at 100%.
Because not even 6 months after Nining was found, her whole story on the internet just goes silent. There's nothing naming her anywhere after July of 2018 that I can find until Missing Void put out their video a couple months ago.
See, and that's so bizarre to me. Like, I get that the governments would want to squash this stuff before it gets out of control. But at the same time, that's also what just absolutely dumps all of the gasoline on the fire for conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
Whenever there's solid leads, a solid story progression, and then all of a sudden it just goes absolutely cold and quiet. Makes zero sense whatsoever.
Yep. It's crazy. It's crazy.
It just doesn't. It doesn't seem like the intel. I get that they're trying to play mommy and daddy, and now I think they haven't figured out. They just mass bomb us in the news to keep us going 100 mile an hour. I think that's where they got us now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, it just dumps all of the gasoline onto the fire for conspiracy theorists. Yeah. They all are like me, and they all just go, "That's government cover up, 100%. It's got to be."
Yeah. It's weird.
I would honestly legitimately feel that way if I was the family too.
100%.
All the attempts to cover this thing up and to close the case would drive me fucking crazy.
Like there's just so much weirdness behind it. So much weirdness that I don't even know. Again, definitely check out Missing Void's YouTube video. He goes on to point out, like, he goes on kind of a Missing 411 route, which I made note of here. He just took a lot of the plot points of Missing 411 and added it to this case to kind of see if it would fall under the same umbrella as Missing 411. And it does kind of hit on a lot of the boxes that are ticked under the Missing 411 case. The points that he made was a point of separation from your group, which would be her being sucked out into the ocean.
Yeah.
It occurred during late afternoon, which a lot of the Missing 411 cases do. A disability or an illness, which while wasn't made note of specifically beforehand, outside of her employer being like, yeah, she was getting kind of withdrawn. After the fact, after they found her, she was definitely in that weird rogue fugue state where she couldn't remember anything. She couldn't speak, which you do kind of hear in some Missing 411 cases.
And that is weird. That's definitely weird. Because it opens this avenue for greater conversation on the subject, in my opinion, because even though it hits these points with Missing 411, but if that is a trope, if that is a byproduct of these circumstances, that you could come back and not remember, and then also like essentially not remember even how to talk, that makes me wonder if, and this is going out on a lot of limbs here, is that a byproduct of crossing into another dimension? Is there some type of computing error that can take place within the brain? That psych, you know, because we could all sit and contemplate, because you always hear it too with like higher dimensional beings, that if we were to witness them, it would fracture our brain. Yeah. It would destroy us. Right.
It's almost a testament to that.
Right. So could that be a byproduct? Could it be a byproduct of whatever is out there that it is actively taking us? Because now that I'm on a tangent, we can't rule out the fact that, especially with the new information that's been thrown out into us, what if Missing 411 and this case are directly tied together through the intervention of extraterrestrial life? Because now we have more than enough reports of them coming from the water. So wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And then we know aliens are notorious for memory wipes and memory screens.
Yep.
So is that a byproduct? You know, is that part of it?
I love it.
Because I really want to go in on the fact that this could be like some crazy mermaid fae encounter. But then if you start connecting dots in different directions, well, the possibility, in my opinion, opens up vastly.
Oh, yeah.
For a way larger conversation. Because I'm never going to get over the fact that she doesn't remember squat, and so much so that she doesn't know how to talk.
Yeah. And like this, Kadul could be an extraterrestrial.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been here for thousands of years, but people just didn't know what to make of it. Absolutely. So they made it. They did the same thing every other culture ever did ever when they ran into aliens and turned them into a god.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Fucking yes, which absolutely.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Awesome.
It is awesome.
And terrifying.
It is terrifying.
A couple more points to the Missing 411. As most of anybody knows that's ever looked into it, people go missing in boulder fields or are found in boulder fields, berry patches, and near bodies of water, which bodies of water is right here because you're on the ocean. She was found.
Makes you wonder.
She was found in a previously searched area.
Yeah.
Which also dings. Victim found confused or lacking memory, which also kind of leads to the illness or disability. And the strange rogue weather events that always happen, like snowstorm comes in, horrible thunderstorm comes in. This could kind of fall under the way the ocean tides and currents changed almost immediately after they were in the water. So there's a lot of, there are so many theories. If you want to try to keep it in the realm of the natural world, you would almost have to go down a route where you'd almost have to accuse one of her family members in kidnapping her.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that could possibly make sense. And if that were the case, why bring her back?
Man.
Because any accounts that I could find, their family did nothing to televise or sensationalize this story. They did all their due diligence to just try to get their relative back.
Yeah.
And all this weird shit turned up as it played out.
Man, and the other thing, like, the more I sit and think about this and the possibility of it being alien, the more I'm fucking sold on it. Because something else that happens when you experience the extraterrestrial phenomenon, and we've heard it in a lot of different cases. We've heard it in some of the cases that I've covered, some of the books from Nick Redfern, some of the emails that we've gotten. One thing that can oddly happen in regards to these ET contacts is weird dreams.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird dreams, man. Is that something my brain was getting pulled back to, was this weird dream? Because at first it made me wonder if, like, this... like a telepathic communication, you know, like maybe whatever was fucking with it was like, all right, they're like, these people are being extremely diligent. They're not giving up. It's going to draw too much attention to said location. Maybe I need to just be like, hey, here's some clues. Find your lady. But then you start expanding on that. And you remember all the cases where people have been interrogated by MIB and by, alphabet agencies specifically on having weird dreams in connection with extraterrestrial contact.
It's crazy.
That's weird.
It's crazy.
It's even weirder that it. Like it's driving. It drives in that direction.
Yeah.
Right. Because I so bad want it to be just like a crazy mermaid story.
Yeah.
But like you said, who's to say that what we call mermaids aren't actually some form of aliens. Extraterrestrial life that lives? I mean, it's the same damn thing, essentially, right?
Yeah, it sucks.
And per some of your description, technically, it actually matches the description of said mermaid.
And I was going to...
Because you said serpent. However, if you could easily kind of swap the two in and out.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that coin, I feel like a reptilian race of aliens could easily be confused for a serpent-like mermaid.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, for sure. It's absolutely crazy. Yeah, it wouldn't take much.
I love
it. You know, it's almost like the creature of the Black Lagoon, you know? It's got the webbing on the hands, yeah, and stuff, and can navigate through the water.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. It's extremely freaking bizarre. Because, like I said, I so bad wanted it to be like a legit mermaid case, because we don't hear a lot of those cases. But you start running down the line and you're kind of, at least I'm being pulled more into the ET category.
Yeah.
But also the possibility of the anomaly that we were talking about it being an actual alien race, or what we would consider alien race, that just happens to reside under the water, which could have been a race of beings that have been here since the dawn of time, just unbeknownst to us for the most part.
Yeah. And the Javanese people put so much power into whatever these beings are under there. Like, they control the tide, they control tsunamis, they control rogue waves, they control armies of phantoms that live under the ocean that come out and not only take people, but they also make people sick. Which is, you hear that in some alien abduction cases, yeah, too. People come back with radiation poisoning and, yeah, all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Not to mention, you know, you venture too far down that avenue when you inject the world, not to say that this was found on her or is even related to her case whatsoever. We're just kind of spitballing circumstances here. But you then further inject the possibility of, say, an implant. Now the tables are all over the place, because with implants, you've heard accounts of mind control, all types of scenarios at that point. Yeah. It's almost like they have a remote control to you now. And it can access all of you. So I know this is more of just nostalgia than anything, maybe not, but I still won't not accept the fact that this could be, because you do hear it in a lot of alien cases, that the government isn't in some way involved in this situation.
They definitely,
everything feels way too fucking weird for me.
Yeah. Especially when you break it down like that, like they tried to write her off as being dead.
Yeah.
Then they tried to write her off as being found and disappeared again.
They 100% try to write a completely different sex corpse off as her.
And then she showed up as patient X, X12.
Not to mention, they tried to do all that within 7 days of the disappearance. That's that either the authorities there are extremely lazy, or there's something weird going on, and they're trying to get rid of this as fast as they can possibly get it.
And the connotation between those two things, that body washing up, either, like, you fall into kind of two camps here, either came from wherever Kadul is from, she released it to kind of throw a cog in the wheel, or the powers that be,
shit, I didn't think about that,
murdered somebody and put them on the beach to throw a cog in, or to throw a wrench in the works, not a cog in the wheel, a wrench in the works, which both suck.
Yeah.
That's
fucking weird.
Yeah. I go on here to talk about two other kind of similar cases, not totally similar, but similar, just to kind of point out, this isn't the first. I'm pretty sure we talked about both of these. This isn't the first time that people go missing under strange circumstances and then come back under even stranger circumstances. I mentioned Stephen Kubacki here, which in winter of 78, Kubacki went across cross-country skiing on the frozen ice of Lake Michigan, and he never came back. Two snowmobilers discovered his skis, poles, and backpack, and after an exhaustive search, the search and rescue teams determined that the 23-year-old college senior must have fallen into one of the deep crevices in the ice and drowned. His family and friends mourned his death. His college held a memorial service for him and issued a diploma in his absentee. 15 months later, a motorist in Massachusetts picked up a hitchhiker who asked to be taken to the nearest payphone. It was Kubacki. He told his family and his friends in a rabidly curious media that he'd woken up in a nearby field wearing clothes he didn't recognize, and that he had no recollection of what happened to him on the lake or the months that followed. Disappeared, half a year, comes back.
We have talked about that case before, and what an absolute Chris Angel mindfuck on that one. You know, mourning the death of a loved one and then only for them to show up later on. That's absolutely mind blowing.
And another one that's happened within the last few years is Danny Philippidis, firefighter from Toronto, Ontario. He told authorities that he had no recollection what happened to him after he was reported missing during an annual ski trip to Whiteface Mountain a week earlier on Wednesday, February 7th. He was actually on the face of the mountain skiing when he disappeared. The search for Philippidis came to an end when the missing skier turned up in Sacramento, California, 2,500 miles away from the slope of the Adirondacks.
Those cases, those two in particular, are so ridiculous.
It's crazy
that I don't even know how that logically happens. Aside from homies, both of them wanting some type of exit strategy from their life.
And then, like,
how does that happen?
Doubling back down. I don't even.
Yeah. How does that happen?
And you would think somebody would at least come forward in seeing these people at some point. Like, bro, especially.
And then on top of all that, let's be 100% honest. People are not that fucking smart. Dude, you could have come up with a cool plan to exit strategy life. But I'll almost be willing to bet you look into it hard enough, you're going to find like, oh, I saw what dude did.
Yeah,
I see the trick here.
I almost brought up another case that I didn't add to it. I forget the guy's name. I think his last name was Brown. He went off in a kayak, just was going out for a daily kayak, disappeared. Kayaks found busted up along the shore a couple weeks later. Some of his bags and stuff wash up. They think he's completely dead, right? His old lady starts making weird money moves. Everybody starts looking into it like, this is pretty bizarre. Turns out he'd faked his own death, was living inside the walls of her home while she was reaping the benefits of all of his payouts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like that's
exactly what I mean. Somebody somewhere, if they look into it enough, they're going to find these loopholes.
Yeah. You know how he was busted? Not that she was making weird money moves. She was starting to transfer to different accounts, which was weird. Bro literally was outside hanging out, and one of the neighbors came by and was like, I thought you were supposed to be dead.
And he goes, oh, shit.
Yeah, he's like, oh. Like they built a breakaway wall in the pantry of her house that he slept in whenever anybody came over, was like, oh, hey, this is sus. Where's your husband
at? That's so crazy. So crazy.
But it does happen.
Like I said, people are not that smart.
The weirdness does happen, but it also like kind of mitigates these one-offs where the people aren't doing it for any kind of financial or spectacular benefit.
Right.
You know, it's weird.
I don't know. All three of them are bizarre in their own right.
Yeah. And I just kind of wrap it up. I said, it's hard to say what's really happening with these people, what the phenomena is behind it, natural or otherwise. All we know is that people go missing all the time. Sometimes they come back.
So bizarre.
That's it, Holocult. That's why we're kicking off 2025. Let us know what you think.
It's a good way to start it.
If anybody, we may have listeners in Indonesia. If anybody does and knows about old Kadul here, shoot us some info. I looked up the Wikipedia and some articles on it. They were all kind of said the same stuff. She's pretty much a bad bitch, so
good for her.
I hope everybody has a magnificent year. We're kicking it off right. 2025 is going to be weird. Aliens are real. They live in the ocean. They masquerade as gods. They take people into their underworld and then some bring them back.
Sometimes.
Don't wear green in the ocean. I don't know. Thanks for hanging out with us. Check us out on all our social medias. You know the drill. Till we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and just avoid the ocean at all costs, for that matter. Just stop going up there. It's not fun. It's full of dead stuff and fish poop, and just it's not as cool as everybody makes it out to be.
Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro, so don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.